بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
An explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين.
Produced and distributed by Knowledge, Books and Audio.
الناس بنو آدم. People are from the children of Adam. وآدم خلق من تراب. And Adam has been created from none other than the earth or from the dust. وَلَا فَضْلْ لِعَرَبِي عَلَى عَجَمِي إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى. The Arab has no preference over a non-Arab except for the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rawahu Imam At-Tirmidhi. So the call of Tawheed. So once again, the study of Tawheed makes you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use these ayat. Use these attributes to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship is only instigated by authentic text. That is what we need to bear in mind. Any form of ibadat, any form of worship is only to be based upon text, upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we stopped upon those groups or those organizations or those people that give preference to man-made laws, to take man-made laws above the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we said and stated that exists in the majority of the Muslim lands at the moment, unfortunately. And we highlighted that the battle, if the word is correct, between Iman and Kufr, between belief and disbelief, is to re-establish once again the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above the laws made by man. Amongst those groups that believe in these laws, or people who attribute themselves to the following groups that we're going to mention, are none other than disbelievers. Those people who attribute themselves to Ash-Shu'iyya, to communism, or Ilmaniyya, secularism, or Rasmaliyya, or to capitalism. These are all movements or thoughts or ideologies which is riddatun an deen al-Islam, which is apostasy from the deen of al-Islam. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. The deen or the way of life in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than al-Islam. Whoever chooses a deen other than Islam as his way of life, that individual has gone on a clear, manifest path of evil and indeed on a way of loss. And it's quite ironic it is that we find Muslims who claim to be Muslims and claim to be secularists at the same time. Or I am a Muslim and I am a communist at the same time. Or I am a Muslim and I am a capitalist at the same time. Which is something very, very dangerous to hold in one's heart or belief. To say I'm a Muslim but the way that we govern, the way that we legislate is through the capitalistic way of life or the social way of life.
So these type of people are none other than munafiqeen, and none other than hypocrites, who show one face to the Muslims and then show another face to the people that they follow. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. If they believe, see the people or they meet the people of Iman, قَالُوا آمَنَّا, they state that we believe. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ. If they come back to their devils or their friends, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Indeed, we are with you, we were only jesting and joking. This is the way of these people. الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِكُمْ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. These are the people that want to play games with humanity. That if victory comes for you, قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. They state, were we not with you? وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَصِيبٌ. And if some form of victory or good thing is given to the disbelievers, قَالُوا أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ وَنَمْنَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Do we not forewarn you and tell you about the believers? So they can't make up their mind. If the Muslims are victorious, then they be with the Muslims. If the non-Muslims are victorious, then they say, did we not warn you about the treacherous plans of the Muslims? فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُنَافِقُونَ الْمُخَادِعُونَ. These are the people who are the hypocrites who are trying to trick against the Muslim Ummah. These are people who show two faces. A face to the believers and then a face to their own people. A people who carry two tongues, who talk about Islam with one breath, then on the second breath they talk about instigating Islam through the use of capitalism or secularism or through materialism or whatever way of ism that these people that they believe in. As we mentioned the verse previously, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That if they see those people that they believe or those people who have iman, they say, we are with you. But when they return back to their own shayateen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers that the people that they return back to are none other than the devils. Any way of life that you turn is none other than the way of one's whims and desires and the following of shaitan. So these people are refusing to follow the legislation of the Quran and the Sunnah. And a person should be far away from such people who show animosity and hatred to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we should be close and show affection to those people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted inside the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Or you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be amongst those people who are the truthful people. The rest of these isms that we find are all based upon falsehood. Ash-shu'iyya, yani communism, is to tunkir wujudul khaliq, is to reject the creator. That is what communism means. Wa tuharibul adyan as-samawiyya. Communism means to reject all types of heavenly religions. All the other previous shara'i or the other forms of law that were sent down, they are all totally to be negated and not to be accepted. Wal-ilmaniyya, as for ilmaniyya or secularism, that is tunkirul adyan, to reject all religions and to believe that their only life is al-illal al-hayatul bahimiyya, following their false desires, following the cattle, following the animals, that give up everything and just follow this pattern of life that should exist. Al-Madda, a form of materialism. As for Rasmaliyya, is none other than capitalism. Jam'ul Mal, the collecting of wealth and property. What we find in the world that's happening at the moment, these people probably have enough resources to feed their own people, to save their own people from the calamity that they're facing at the moment, but they will not release the reserves. Try to save it for another day. Their own people are suffering today, thousands of them, but that is what Rasmaliyya is. Capitalism, to control everything and not to release it for the sake of helping other people, but for the sake of releasing it into the market economy for earning a greater benefit. A greater profit is the way that these people perceive this dunya. So you find that these people, it doesn't concern them whether you earn your wealth through halal or haram. It doesn't concern them whether your wealth is through riba, through interest, is what capitalism is all based upon. That you are declaring war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا شَفَقَ عَلَى الْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. That you show no alleviation or no kindness and affection towards the poor and the children, etc. That's not important for them. What is important for them is جَمْعُ الْمَالِ وَالْإِقْتِسَادِ. Is a gathering of wealth and the strengthening of one's economy at the expense of letting their own people suffer. So what type of madahib? What type of thoughts are these? These are the thoughts of Shu'iyya, communism, secularism, socialism. How can this be a form of life which sustains them and sustains other people and helps other people? What individual with an aql, with an intellect, can accept these forms of life? These forms of isms to govern upon humanity? And how can we follow such principles of life? Then we find a second type of attribution that exists in the world at the moment. That is the way that the disbelievers have seen the attribution towards these isms. The second type of attribution that we find, which exists unfortunately amongst the Muslims, is what is known as al-ahzab al-jahiliyyah, ignorant confederates or groups that get together based upon al-qawmiyyah, based upon their own origin, based upon their own people. As we find that Jamal Abdul Nasser, who they called was the last Arab, who lived in the 50s and 60s, who, and he had this thought of United Arab Republic, who had this great dream of making all of the Arab nations into one nation. His da'wah was qawmiyyah, was one of just Arab nationalism. It was not one of al-Islam. That's why you find that the torturing that he committed upon the movement Ikhwan al-Muslimin was due to this, because they refused to accept his da'wah and his call. But he was bent upon stating that this is the only way forward. Al-Qawmiyyah, al-Sha'biyyah, al-Arabiyyah. The way forward is through the Arab nationalism and to unite upon this. And his people call him the last Arab. The only Arab that stood up towards the rest of the world, who tried to unite the people together. As far as Islam is concerned, then this call is a call of jahiliyyah. This call is a call of ignorance. We do not unite upon Arabism. We don't unite upon the Arabic language. We don't unite upon Yani Asham and Urdun and Philistine and Misr and Saudiya. All these lands don't just unite because we share some things, common things in ground. The Muslim Ummah unites upon Al-Aqa'id, upon their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the Sunnah of the Prophet, following the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this type of Al-Asabat, Al-Na'arat, this Asabat, this Ta'asub, this staunch following is a form of arrogance and pride. Slogans of arrogance and pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. O mankind. Here you find that the attribute is not, O you believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating, O mankind. Is a clear distinction that this address is not khitab, is not towards the believers, but a khitab to the whole of humanity. A lesson to the whole of humanity. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created you from a male and a female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا. We made you nations and tribes. Yes, nations and tribes do exist in Islam. There's no harm in following, in being amongst a nation or a tribe. But when that nation tribe makes you give preference to it over the rights of an Islam, then it becomes qawmiyyah, it becomes jahiliyyah, it becomes none other than ignorance. لِتَعَارَفُوا. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So that you may know one another. That is the reason why nations and tribes exist, that you know one another. But the crux or the ideal message that is laid down inside the Quran, or that which is seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the consciousness, is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what counts in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find some hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Laysa minna man da'a ila asabiyya. He is not from amongst us who calls to this type of Arab allegiance or calls to such types of movements. Wa laysa minna man qatala ala asabiyya. He is not from us who fights or strives on this type of belief. وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَضِبَ لِعَصَبِيَّ. And he's not amongst us who gets angry for the sake of this ta'assub, for the sake of this of their group or their party or the nationalism that they believe in. And likewise we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away, lifted away from you عَصَبِي الْجَاهِلِيَّ. This belief, this ignorant belief. And وَفَخْرُهَا بِالْآبَى. And to boast about your lineage and about your fathers. إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُؤْمِن تَقِي. Indeed, it is only the pure, yani the mu'min who is living, who has taqwa and conscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that counts. أَوْ فَاجِرْ شَقِي. Or a rebellious individual. That's the only two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. One who is muttaqi and the other one who is a fajir. One who is a fasik, a rebellious individual. النَّاس بَنُوا آدَم. People are from the children of Adam. Wa Adam khulika min turab. And Adam has been created from none other than the earth or from the dust. Wala fadl li arabi ala ajami illa bi taqwa. The Arab has no preference over a non-Arab except for the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rawahu Imam At-Tirmidhi. So here we find that we've been ordered to do what? What should we stick towards? What should our ta'awun be? What should we link ourselves with? And the answer is quite clear inside the Quran, whereby it's talking about those ayat which talk about ordering the good and forbidding the evil inside Surah Ali Imran, verse 103.
وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا.
وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Oh, you together hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not differ with one another. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, remember the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً, that you at one stage were enemies towards one another. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, and then he brought your hearts together, and by his mercy you became brethren towards one another. That is what aqidah does. That is what belief does. That is what brings a person from the East in link with a person in the West. These people are still writing researches at the moment, doing buhuth, doing research and studies about what is the link between a person in Philistine and a person who lives in this country. They still cannot understand, comprehend that the pain and the suffering of the people in Philistine is the pain and suffering for us. The people in Iraq is a suffering for us. They look at it as a racial, logistical location. People in Iraq dress like this. People in Iraq speak like this. People in Iraq eat like this. People in London dress like this. People in London, youth in London, behave like this. Why are these people so engrossed in what is happening in Iraq? What is the relationship? What is the relationship between us sitting here and the people in Philistine? It's something that they are still researching to find out that link. For us, it's quite simple. For us, it's al-akhuwa al-imaniya. For us, it is the brethren love of iman and faith that makes us feel what they feel what they suffer, rejoice in what they rejoice in. For these people, still the search is going on, that why do such people show such affection towards somebody who's thousands of miles away? And so we find that this iftikhar, that is boasting of the lineage and the boasting of the Arab tribe, is none other than something which goes against the teachings of al-Islam. And we find that this type of dissension has led to a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down upon this Muslim ummah. قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيعًا. He is the one that can bring, he is the Qadir, the one who is prevalent to bring upon you, عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا, to send a chastisement upon you, مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ, from above you, أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ, أَوْ from underneath you, beneath your feet, وَيَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيعًا, and to divide you and to diverse you inside various groups, وَيُذِيقَ بَعْدَكُمْ بَعْسَ بَعْدٍ, and you may taste the punishment of one another. That's what happens when dissension appears inside this Muslim ummah. When people want to govern by capitalism, when people want to govern by materialism, when people want to turn away from the sharia, when people want to govern by the Arab nationalistic views, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this ummah dissension amongst them. We don't need the other people to descend us. And even you read the history about the development of the Arab nations, you'll be very surprised that the United Nations allow them to become united. Because, do you know why? Because they knew they were going to differ amongst themselves. Allow them to think that they are going to become united amongst themselves, but the real trickery in the plan is people fail to understand that when they come together upon their Arab nationalism, then they will forget the cause of the Muslim Ummah. The only thing that will matter to them is the Arab nationalism, not the cause of the Muslim Ummah. And this has been documented in many evidences of the United Nations, that they allow this, they encourage this type of getting together because they know that it will be at the expense of the Muslim Ummah. And we find that this type of behavior leads to refusal of the truth. That these people, when you begin to follow these form of isms, then you begin to reject the truth. وَمَا لَمْ تَحْكُمْ أَيْمَّتَهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْثَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. When the leaders begin to not govern by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll find that this type of behavior, hatred and disassociation, will begin to appear between them. And that is clearly which is visible in this Muslim ummah at the moment. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. When you say to these people, believe in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them, قَالُوا نُؤْمِنُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ وَالْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. In these people don't want to believe in the truth. They just turn away from that which is the truth. And this is none other than ta'assub. Staunch following of what they think is the truth. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَمُتَّبِعُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. If you tell them to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them, قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُنَا. They say, nay, indeed we will follow that which our fathers used to follow. That is what these people believe in. وَيُرِيد أَصْحَابْ هَذِي الْحِزْبِيَاتِ. And these people who follow these groups and these movements, and يَجْعَلُوهَا بَدِيلَةً عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. They want to make this as a substitute for Islam. That these isms are the way that we should be using instead of Islam in the 21st century or whenever these people are governing. And الإسلام الذي من الله به على البشرية. Instead of using the context of Islam, which is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon humanity, instead we should turn towards these other formal or these other false ways of life. And life, as we mentioned them, is none other than a materialistic gain and purpose. Materialism is the way that these people view this life. And this materialistic thinking of life and the wrong, or the mafasid, the corruption of this theology, of this belief, that any materialism is the most important thing that insan can do. Seeking to gain the pleasures. That is the only thing that these people concentrate upon, and no other purpose in life. These are the people who have lost in both this dunya and the akhirah. And those people, as many as this silsila that we discussed previously about the love of this dunya, that the people who rectify this dunya will gain this dunya and the akhirah. As for those type of people who only seek the dunya, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. Those are the people who lose the dunya and they lose the akhirah. And that is the خُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That is the most greatest and the most clearest of losses that these people can lose. The dunya, as we mentioned, has a purpose. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is the one that created life and death to see who of you is going to be best in action. That is the way that the mu'min taqi, the believing, any pious believer, sees the concept of this dunya. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We have made this world, or placed them upon this earth, زِينَةً لَهَا, as a form of beautification, to see أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which of you is going to be doing the good, any righteous actions towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the majority of people have this concept of belief. What do these people believe in? وَقَالُوا إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. They believe that it is only this world. We are not going to be resurrected. There's going to be no concept of resurrection inside the hereafter. When these people have been forewarned inside the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاعَنَا. Those people who don't believe in meeting us. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And they are content with this dunya. وَاتْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. And they are happy and content with it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ عَيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. Those people who are unaware of our signs, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The end of the refuge of these people is none other than the fire. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever wants this dunya, وَزِينَتَهَا, and wants the beautification, the glitter of this dunya, نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. They will be given their full reward inside this dunya, and nothing will be taken away from them. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. These people will have no share of the akhirah except for the fire will be given to them. وَحَبِتَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And whatever they have created is batil, is false, and وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and nothing is of value in front of these people. This is a warning for both the hypocrites and the disbelievers. This type of warning is for the disbelievers who have this conceptual vision of the dunya. And likewise for the munafiqeen who share this vision of the dunya, about the dunya is the all end. The only purpose is nothing but this dunya. And these people, this nadhra, this thinking, or this conception is none other than fikratul bahahim. Is none other than the thought of the cattle, thought of the animals. And indeed the animals are even better than these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed that the masir, the end of such people who share the faculties of cattle, share the faculties of animals. أَمْ تَحْسَبُوا أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ. Do you think that majority of these people can hear or they can comprehend and understand? In hum illa kal an'am bal hum adallu sabila. These people are none other than like the cattle. Bal hum adallu sabila. But indeed they are worse and more astray than the cattle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that they may have the possession of wealth and the possession of property, but these people cannot really seem to perceive or understand or have any form of intellect or comprehension within their hearts or within their minds. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ But indeed the majority of mankind, they do not seem to know. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ They know the apparent things of this dunya, and as for the akhirah, they are غافلون. They are heedless of that what concerns the akhirah. So the Quran, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, described these people as having no knowledge. They may think that they have developed tatawwur, yani developed in their stages, have developed tharwa, some type of good understanding and lineage and domination upon this land, and have a good form of intellect and understanding. But as far as the Quran is concerned, these people are juhal. These people are ignorant in their perception and understanding of this dunya. And we find that the Quran goes to the extent, or the linguistic goes to the extent to highlight these people are juhal. These people are ignorant because the concept of title of knowledge and perception can only be given to those people who take the conception of knowledge and become those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you find, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ Indeed, those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ulama. What is the meaning of al-ulama? Ulama does not necessarily mean just the ulama who deal with the sciences of the Quran. Ulama is anybody who has developed the intellectual and the rational capacity that the science that they learn and they study, that they come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a farmer who just sows the seed in the ground, he is an alim because he has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people who may hold PhDs and positions of ministry and positions inside the government, but yet they come back and they prostrate in front of a sanam, in front of an idol, or they worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as far as Islam is concerned, these people are not intellectuals. They're not intellectually people to be classified as ulama, because an alim is the one who knows, is the one who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find that what we mentioned previously, that the nazaratul madiyya lil haya, that this conceptual visualization of materialistic gain in the dunya is none other than the way of Qarun. As we studied yesterday, alhamdulillah, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ He came out to his people in a state of glitter. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا The people who wanted this dunya, they claim that if only woe upon us, if only we had that which was been given to Qarun, إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ Indeed, he is a great character. So looking at his material capacity, and how strange it is that many of us look at Dulul Kafira, looking at these non-Muslim lands and these people. وَمَا عِنْدَهَا مِنْ تَقَدُّمْ صِنَاعِي We look at their development, in their technological development, وَاقْتِصَادِي And in the economical development, فَإِنَّ هَذَا ضِعَافُ الْإِيمَانِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ This is a weakness of iman from the believers. To aspire to these type of things. Now to say that these things are incorrect, that a land should not be content in its material gain and its economical gain. But this is not the all end. But too many of our Muslim lands look as this is the prime objective of attaining peace inside this dunya. يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ نَظْرَةُ إِعْجَابِ The sad thing is that they look at these countries as surprised, bewildered by what these people have achieved. And this is a wrong conception to have of such people. Because we find that this nadra al-khati'ah ila ta'zim al-kuffar leads you to honor these people, to give distinction to such people. وَاحْتِرَامِهِمْ فِي نَفُوسِهِمْ And to honor these people so much within your own souls leads to وَاتَّشَبُّ بِهِمْ to begin to imitate them, to begin to develop inside your land, to gain whatever they want to gain by whatever means, to gain that inside your own land. It's a dangerous concept or a belief to hold within yourselves. Fi akhlaqihim, to feel that the way they got forward was through their immoral character, to follow the characteristics and to believe that is the way forward in the Muslim ummah. Wa adatihim, to follow their tradition and to feel that will aid the Muslim ummah or the Muslim land. وَلَمْ يُقَلِّدُهُمْ فِي الْجِدْ وَعِيَادَةِ الْقُوَّةِ We don't seem to follow them in striving, in struggling. We only want to follow them in imitation of those bad things. We don't want to look at the striving that these people do and to develop it. And the preparation that these people do of this dunya. You know, the things that they do for their protection of their countries and for their people is the things that we should be striving to entail inside our people. And those things, النَّافِعْ مِنَ الْمُخْتَرَعَاتْ وَالصَّنَاعَاتْ, the beneficial things that we need to develop in our lands and for our people is not the things that we develop in our lands. We will develop great big football stadiums in our lands. We will develop nightclubs in our land. We will develop all types of evil and falsehoods in our lands. But we won't develop things that will help the agriculture in our land, won't help the technological advancement in our land. We won't develop such things. But we develop all the corrupt things in our land and feel that this is the way forward. This is a way of showing allegiance to the Western Empire. And we find that the correct understanding, another to thaniya lil haya, another to sahiha. The correct understanding of life that we have mentioned, alhamdulillah, on many occasions, is to seek the akhirah through the use of this dunya. And to look at this dunya, kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyam al khaliya. Eat and rejoice of the good things, ya'ni ad-dunya, inside this dunya. That is the way that a believer, sees this dunya. That all the good things in the world are for the Muslims, not just for the disbelievers. The good things in this world are for both of us to rejoice in. However, these people want to rejoice in the bad things. And so we find that the blessing of wealth is with the righteous people as well. That's why you find that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. The Muslim should aspire to be wealthy, to give towards other people, to entail richness amongst this Muslim ummah and to aid other people. So we find that the comment comes here, that if so many people are happy amongst them and amongst Muslims as well, why do so many people turn to ruqya and amulets? And that is what the Shaykh begins to discuss in his following discussion. That what is the opinion of ruqa? Ruqa is jam of ruqya, incantation or the recitation of the Quran. Wahiya al-udhatu is the seeking of refuge, is a meaning from any form of sickness that may have come upon you, some form of hardship or disease that may have come upon you. And we find that there are various types of these type of recitations of verses of charms and amulets that we find. The first type that we find, that which is not free from shirk. You find that people will find that which is free from shirk and that which is permissible and to be read upon the sick individual is that which contains the Quran. Recitation of the words of the Quran to remove some calamity or remove some sickness is a form of ruqya which is allowed, or through the use of the asma, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes, is something fahada mubah. This is something which is permissible, this type of incantation or recitation of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find hadith that in Jahiliyyah, that these people used to carry out this type of incantation of the verses, and they asked the Prophet Muhammad the hukum of this. Yani, i'radu alayha riqaqum. Yani, recite upon me your incantations or the supplications that you are mentioning or the verse that you're reciting, and there is no ba's, no harm, ma lam takun shirkan, as long as it does not contain any verses or any words of shirk. And that's why Imam al-Suyuti, he highlights that there are three conditions. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَى جَوَازِ الرُّقَى عِنْدَ اِجْتِمَاءِ ثَلَاثَ شُرُوطٍ, that there are three conditions for to recite incantation or seeking refuge from any hardship or evil or some sickness that may come upon you. أَنْ تَكُونَ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ وَتَعَالَى, that the, what you are doing, reciting, is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is none other than the Qur'an. أَوْ بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ, or it be His names or His attributes. And the third thing, that it be inside bilisanin arabiyin mubin, that it be with the clear Arabic language. These are three conditions that Imam Suyuti highlighted about making ruqya. That they are verses of the Quran, or they are the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is recited inside the Arabic, within the Arabic language. And we find, and also to believe, وَأَنْ يَعْتَقِدْ أَنَّ الرُّقْيَ لَا تُؤْثَرْ بِذَاتِهَا, that the actual incantation or the recitation is not what causes the effect. بَلْ بِتَقْدِيرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, that it is all by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to place the trust in the ruqya itself, but the trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the verses are that which gain you towards that success or removing of that hardship. And we find that the various forms, وَكَيْفِيَتُهَا, its form of this ruqya is أَنْ يَعْتَقِدْ is أَنْ يَقْرَأْ وَيَنْفَثْ عَلَى الْمَرِيدِ, is to recite and to make spittle upon the marid. Spittle means not to spit with saliva, but it means to place the tongue in between the teeth and then to blow. So some form of spittle may come, not actually spittle, so some form of the air and the spittle will fall upon the individual is allowed. أو يقرأ في ماء ويسقاه المريض, or to recite upon water, a cup of water, and then to offer it to the sick individual. كما جاء في حديث ثابت ابن قيس, as we find in the hadith narrated by ثابت ابن قيس, ما رواه أبو داود في سننه. The second type of ruqya, the second type of incantation that we find, or the recitation that we find, is that which contains shirk. The second type is that which contains shirk, and this type of shirk is calling upon asma'ul jinn, calling upon the names of the jinn, calling upon the names of the angels, or the prophets, or the salihin. If you find a person indulging this type of incantation, or reciting such names, and calling upon the jinn, and calling the names of the prophet, this is shirk. This type of incantation is not, this type of ruqya is not acceptable. فَهُوَ shirk akbar, and this is a major shirk, to call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْ يَكُونَ بِغَيْرِ لِسَانِ الْعَرَبِي, or to be in other than the Arabic language. Ruqya in other than the Arabic language, as far as the ulama are concerned, we lay down the condition, is unacceptable. أَوْ بِمَا لَا يَعْرِفْ مَعْنَاهُ, or nobody knows what this person is saying. And that's how you find that the ruqya that these people that they write, the charms and the amulets that these people write, you don't know what language it is. Most of it is Greek, numeric mythology, that this number means this. They scribble all these things and say, you don't understand it. This is shirk. Whenever you don't know what the individual is talking about, whatever they are writing, whatever they are uttering, you should be free from such people, that they could be calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could be calling upon the jinn, they could be calling upon shaitan to alleviate yourself from your problems. You should only deal with those people who deal with ruqya, who recite the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who mention the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recite it clearly in front of you in the clear Arabic language. And if you do not know what this individual is reciting, لِأَنَّوْ يَخْشَى أَنْ يَدْخُلَ kufr أَوْ shirk, you don't know if this person could be entering kufr, words of kufr or words of shirk inside what they are uttering, and this could lead you into that which is mamnu', the ruqya, which is forbidden. As for التمائم, التمائم وهي جم تميمة. تميمة is وما يعلق بعناق الصبيان لدفع العين, that which is an amulet or a talisman that a person wraps upon, maybe upon a child, to protect them from the عين, to protect them from the evil eye. وَقَدْ يُعَلَّقْ عَلَى الْكِبَارِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ, and it could be, you know, wrapped upon even elderly people to protect them from some harm or some hardship or some calamity that may come upon them. There are two types of amulets or talismans that we find. One of them contains the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Qur'an. Now, there are two opinions about this. The first opinion, أَنَّهُ جَائِزْ, that this is allowed to wear an amulet which contains the Qur'an and the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ قَوْلْ عَبْدُ ibn Amr ibn al-As. That is the opinion, or one of the statement of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. وَهُوَ ظَاهِرْ مَا رُوِيَ عَنْ عَائِشَةً وَبِهِ قَالَ أَبُو جَعْفَرَ الْبَاقِرِ وَأَحْمَدُ بْنِ حَنْبَلٍ فِي رِوَايَةٍ عَنْهُ وَحَمَلُوا الْحَدِيثَ الْوَارِدَ فِي الْمَنْ مِنْ تَعْلِيقِ التَّمَائِمِ عَلَى التَّمَائِمِ الَّتِي فِيهَا شِرْكٌ. And they state that those ahadith which talk about amulets, talismans are forbidden, that's just a general statement. But if it's free from shirk, then you can wear a talisman. So that's the first opinion. You can wear a talisman, providing it only contains the Quran and the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the first group of ulama. The second group of ulama believe that even if it contains the Quran and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-man'u, it is forbidden. You need to abstain from the wearing of talismans or amulets. Well, this is the statement of Ibn Mas'ud wa Ibn Abbas, and likewise the statement of Hudayfa wa Uqba ibn Amir wa Ibn Akim. وَبِهِ قَالْ جَمَاعَةُ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ, منهم the followers of Ibn Mas'ud, and wa Ahmad fi riwayatin ikhtaraha kathir min ashabihi, and many of the Hanabila have chosen this opinion. And they find that they highlighted that Ibn Mas'ud heard the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna ruqa wa tama'im wa tawla shirk, indeed ruqa, incantation, the wearing of tama'im and tawla is shirk. A tawla bima'na, that which a person does to bring a husband and wife, or to make a woman love a man, or to make one's wife love the husband, or for the husband to love the wife, some kind of sorcery or whatever may be involved inside there. The correct opinion is the one, it is forbidden to wear an amulet, even if it contains the Quran and the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from three angles. The three angles to highlight this opinion is the most strongest opinion is amumun nahi, the general forbiddance from wearing talismans. We don't need to go into discussion whether it contains the Quran or does not contain the Quran, because the Quran, as we mentioned, has been sent down for recitation, for to use it, not to place it to be wrapped around your body. Likewise, saddu dhari'a, what known as a principle of usul al-fiqh, to prevent the bounds, to prevent going into the bounds or falling into the sin. فَإِنَّهَا تَفْضِي إِلَىٰ تَعْلِيقْ مَا لَيْسَ مُبَاحًا, that could make you fall into wearing that which is not permissible. People may begin, as we find, people begin to wear copper rings to believe, or a copper bracelet, this protects you from evil, or protects you from a certain sickness. Or people may begin to wear a ring, that if the diamond is an emerald, then it shows you, takes you away from this type of sickness, or it takes you away from this, or highlights the temperature that you are feeling. And the third reason, أَنَّهُ إِذَا عُلِّكَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فَلَا بُدَّ, if you place something of the Qur'an inside this amulet or this talisman that you wear around your hand, around your body, you will have to enter into filthy places. Meaning you will have to enter into the toilet, while istinja, may have it wrapped around your arm, and you may be washing your bodily parts. This is a disrespect to the Qur'an. Because the amulet is tied so closely, you cannot remove it without opening it. So this is a form of disrespect towards the Qur'an. So everybody who holds this opinion that the Qur'an should not be taken into evil or filthy places. The Qur'an is supposed to be respected. Some people even go into the opinion that even to place the Qur'an on the floor and to step your foot on the Qur'an is kufr, is istihza, is disrespecting the Qur'an. So don't think that when Muslim communities, when these people enter into Iraq and they throw the Qur'an on the floor and they burn the Qur'an, that Muslim sentiments and emotions are raised. It means a lot to the Muslims that to behave in this ill manner towards the Qur'an, to burn the Qur'an, to place it in filthy places, and to place, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, to place excrements of animals upon the Qur'an, is what these people do. We, yani alhamdulillah, we respect, even though we don't believe in the authenticity of the Bible, of the Torah and the Injil, we believe there is great discrepancy inside this book. But we as men of religion and men of respect will still honor their books. We'll still honor their books. But these people will degrade our books, will burn our books. They've done this previously. When they entered into Baghdad, you read Tariq, the history, they burnt all of the history. All of the history of Baghdad, these people burnt it down. That's what they've done. As far as we don't commit such atrocities upon heritage, upon knowledge, and upon respect towards people of knowledge. The second type of tamaim, amulets that we find, is that which contains ta'alluq al-ashkhas, ما كان من غير القرآن, that which does not contain the Qur'an. And these type of amulets, which are compiled of strings, and ni'al, and shoelaces, whatever it may be, contains the names of shayateen, the names of the devils, the names of the jinn, and all such types of writings entailed inside these amulets. It is upon the Muslim, المحافظةُ على عقيدته, and to stay away from, مِمَّا يُفْسِدُهَا, and to stay, to preserve their aqidah, their belief, and to stay away from that which will destroy your strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should forewarn people who place amulets upon their children, and they clearly state, we don't know what this person wrote. Or when you open the amulet, you find this numbering and this type of kufr and shirk inside there, it should be removed and should be burned. If you want to protect your children, then conduct what has been laid down inside the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To recite al-mu'awwidhatayn, to recite Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas upon your children. It's not difficult to learn. To recite Ayatul Kursi, to recite the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah before you go to sleep. It's all protection if you feel that there is something that is going to harm your children. Or from Al-Ayn, to say, MashaAllah, La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. To state these supplications to protect your children when somebody may praise your children, or to praise yourself, or to praise another individual in front of you. وَبَعْدُ النَّاسِ يُعَلِّقْ هَذِي الْأَشْيَاءِ, and some people, they put these places عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَهُ لَيْسَ فِي مَرَضْ حِسِّي, and this individual contains no sickness. All of this, وَإِنَّمَا فِيهِ مَرَضْ وَحْمِ وَهُوَ الْخَوْفِ, all that this person contains is waham, is speculation that, oh, maybe I may suffer from the eye, from the evil eye, or maybe there may be hasad, there may be jealousy. This type of waham, this type of belief is a negligence of aqidah, is a negligence of tawheed, to believe that these people can cause you some hardship and that could be upon you. So that's why these people begin to display it upon their cars, upon their riding beasts, upon the doors, upon their shops, that this is a form of protection. Where is your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You don't need the writings of the Quran to protect you. You don't need what they call Lawh al-Mahfuz or the Kalimat or the Hameen, Alif Lam Mim, to place it in this order and say, this is protection for your house. This is protection for your dukan. This is ta'weedh al-dukan. This is protection for your shop. Protection for your business. Hu al-dar. He is the one that causes harm. Wahu al-nafi'. And he is the one that causes benefit and goodness towards you. That is the aqa'id or the aqidah of the believer. You don't need to return to beginning of the Quran and to believe that you place these surahs and place 13 of them in such an order will give you protection from such things. وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ مِنْ دَعْفِ الْعَقِيدَةِ All this is from a weakness of the aqidah and the belief that the individual has. وَدَعْفْ تَوَكَّلُهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى And a weakness in placing your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ الدَّعْفَ الْعَقِيدَةِ هُوَ الْمَرَضِ الْحَقِيقِ The real sickness or the weakness that we have is the weakness of an iman or aqidah within ourselves. يَجِبُ عِلَاجُهُ بِمَعْرِفَةِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالْعَقِيدَةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ The only way to cure this sickness is not through ruqya, is not through incantations, or not through wearing the talisman, is through learning what is the correct belief of the individual. And we find that we've come on to يعني الحلف بغير الله to take an oath or to swear by the name other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taking an oath, swearing, mentioning someone or something is respecting that individual. That when you take an oath by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are giving that individual or whatever you're swearing by authority and recognition. Recognition and authority and respect and reverence should only be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the ta'zeem is only lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haqqun lillahi ta'ala fala yajuz al-half bi khayrihi. That is a right that belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no taking of oath or swearing should be given or to be placed upon any other individual. مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ وَأَشْرَكَ Whoever swears by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has committed kufr or committed shirk. And the meaning of shirk here is وَهُوَ shirk أَصْغَر is the minor shirk. However, if you believe that this individual is given reverence to such a degree, is given importance to such a degree that you swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you lie. You don't mind lying by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when it comes to the individual that you believe in, you will never ever lie by the individual. This becomes shirkul akbar. This becomes the major shirk. You're willing to swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and even lie. That means you don't really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you use His name. But when it comes to the person that you swear by, that you believe in, you will never ever lie by that person's individual and this becomes a great shirk. Then some people will suffer from this. That they will swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lie. But they will say, I swear by the name of Badawi, who is a saint inside Misr, inside Egypt. Or I swear by Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. Then people will believe that he is really telling the truth. But if he says, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't really believe him. And he will intentionally lie by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he swears by the individual, so that means what? You are giving ta'zeem wa waqar. You are giving respect and honor to this individual above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this becomes the major shirk. And excessive swearing is forbidden in Islam. And unfortunately many contain this, not to pick upon our respected brothers, that you find that there, any little thing, wallahi, wallahi ma fa'alt, wallahi ma dakhalt, wallahi ma kharaj, wallahi ma akalt, wala ma fa'alt shay. Any little thing, wallah. And this is disrespect. That every single thing, you should not use wallah. Every little thing, they will do this. You find this amongst the people, wala tuti' kulla hallafin maheen. Don't obey those people who continuously have this halaf, who continuously taking his oaths. وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ Preserve your oath. That you should become a man of honesty. That when you do use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are using it on a serious note. Not just using it in any manner that you find. And we find that here, the Shaykh mentions that this is a form of belittling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find in the hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يُزَكِّهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Three individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them, وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And He will not purify them, and for them will be an evil chastisement. Who are these three individuals? وَرَجٌ جعل الله بدعته لا يشتري إلا بيمينه ولا يبيع إلا بيمينه. A person who whenever he's buying and selling anything he does, wallahi هذا رخيص. Wallahi اشتريته من يمن. Wallahi هو ثمن معين لك. Any little thing that they do, wallahi اشتريه منك بهذا ثمن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this type of individual, and we find this in our culture as well. I swear by Allah, this material came today from Yemen. Wallahi, it's the cheapest material you can ever find. Wallahi, I'm giving it to you the cheapest price you find in this dunya. This is not praiseworthy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know you're using it for justification. That you've been pushed to such a degree that you mention it, the person knows that now you're speaking the truth. That when you make the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that stage, a person should be able to take it from you. That once you said that, wallahi, this is the truth, or this is honest, then a person should be willing to accept that, not question it anymore. And you experience this in the Arab world as well, that once a person says to you, wallahi, this is how much I'm paying for it, then that's it, that is it, as far as they're concerned. As for in our culture, you find that even if he mentions the kalima, then you know this person is lying. He's lying even more. And this happened once when I was traveling, and I was with an individual, and the police officer, he stopped us, and he began to discuss, and he began to say to me, I say the kalima shahada. I have never ever taken rishwa in my life. I've never taken bribery in my life. And he was telling the truth. He doesn't take bribery, but the people underneath him take it for him and give it to him. So he's trying to tell the truth. I don't take bribery. I don't take it in my own hand. And when the other individual with me went inside there, and who had no deen and no understanding, he went and he said, I said to him, what did you do? He goes, you know what I done? I gave him some bribery and I walked out the office. So he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He said, Anta yani rajul mutadayyin. Nahsabuka dhalik inshallah. You are a good inshallah person. I've never ever taken in my life. And the person who came out, he said to me, you know what I did? I gave the man rishwa inside there. I gave him bribery. Who's going to take that bribery? He's going to take it. 20 years of his service as a police officer, he's never taken bribery in his life. And swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is known as al-halif billahi kadiban huwa al-ghamus. A person who swears by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows they are lying, this is ghamus. This is an evil sin to know you are lying and to swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this type of al-half, yani al-hukm al-half bi ghayrillah, to take swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تحريم الحلف بغير الله. It is forbidden to swear by other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كالحلف بالأمانة, to swear by your honesty, by your integrity, to swear by my children, أو الكعبة, to swear by the Kaaba, or even to swear by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ الشِّرْكِ. That is shirk. So you only swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as a side note, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran swear by everything else? وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرْ وَاللَّيْلِ وَالْعَصَرْ وَالْفَجْرِ. All these things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو الخالق. He is a creator and he has a right to swear by whatever he wants. To take an oath by whatever he wants. Secondly, we find, تَحْرِيمُ الْحَلْفِ بِاللَّهِ كَاذِبًا مُتَعَمِّدًا وَهِيَ الْغَمُوسِ. That to swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that you are lying, مُعْتَمِدًا. You know, full knowledge that you are lying, that is غَمُوس, that is a form of a lying and an evil sin. وَتَحْرِيمُ كثرة الحلف بالله ولو كان صادقا. And forbiddance of excessively mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are truthful, is something which is known as istighfar, is to belittle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وجواز الحلف بالله إذا كان صادقا وعند الحاجة. And permissibility to swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the need and the necessity in the right place is something permissible for individual to do. Then we come to التوسل. التوسل بالمخلوق. Seeking intercession through bil makhluq ila Allah ta'ala, through the creation. At-tawassul huwa at-taqarrub ila shay. At-tawassul in getting close is at-taqarrub, is getting close to something, as we find al-wasila. We find in the Quran, wabtaghu ilayhi al-wasila. Find a way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now many of the people who read this verse inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 35, they highlight wasila means the use of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what they understand for the meaning of wasila, intercession and intermediary. And the late Sheikh Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani has written a whole book, At-Tawassul Anwa'uha wa Ahkamuha, the forms of intermediary and intercession, its various types and its ruling. Now we find, as far as the Arabic language is concerned, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. What does wasila here mean? In the classical sources we find wasila, هِيَ الْقُرْبَ إِلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِطَاعَتُهِ وَاتِّبَاءَ مَرْضَاتِهِ. It means to do the righteous actions through obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His pleasure. So at-tawassul qisman. Tawassul, intercession, is, or the path of intercessory is three types. That which is mashru' wa huwa anwa, that which is permissible, and there are many types of this. The permissible types of tawassul, of intercession, which are allowed, is one through the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Use the names of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and attributes. This is tawassul jaiz. This is the tawassul which is recommended, that you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and attributes. The second type, التوسل إلى الله تعالى بالإيمان والأعمال الصالحة. To seek through your iman and through your righteous deeds towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find inside the Quran, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي بِالْإِيمَانِ. Our Lord, we have heard the call of the one who is calling to iman, and آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. To believe in your Lord, فَآمَنَّا. So we believe. We believe, so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. So ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe, we have come with iman, so now we request you, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا. Forgive us our sins, وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا, and take away, remove away our evil deeds or things that we have committed, وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and make us die amongst the righteous individuals. And likewise, a strong evidence that we find in the hadith of the three individuals who were locked inside the cave, that there was bad weather, a storm, and they entered into a cave, and a rock came and it blocked their path. Each one of them said, there is no way that we can come out of this cave, except for by mentioning the righteous deeds that we've done, and we will be alleviated through our problem. And each one of them mentioned the good deeds that they've done, and the cave, the rock began to move slightly, until finally they're able to come out of this rock. And this hadith is marawahu. This hadith has been collected by both muttafaqun alayh, by Bukhari and Muslim. But the context of the hadith we want to highlight is a'malu salihah, righteous actions, that you can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I traveled this journey, or I done this action and nobody was there, seeking only your pleasure. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alleviate the problem that I'm facing. You know, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I gave this wealth, and it was the only wealth that I have for your sake, to aid this miskin or to aid these people of yours, now alleviate me from this problem that I am facing. The third type of tawassul, bitawheedihi. By using his oneness, by calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we find Yunus alayhi salam, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He called out in the depth of darkness, يعني أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتُ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. There is none under the heart has the right to be worshipped except for you, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified are you. So the call of Tawheed. So once again, the study of Tawheed makes you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use these ayat, use these attributes to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth type we find is to recognize your state of weakness. إِذْحَارُ الدَّعْفِ وَالْحَاجَةِ وَالْإِفْتِقَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. To show that you are a state of weakness and need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you find Ayyub alayhi salam, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الدُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that hardship and affliction and calamity has come upon you. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You are the most merciful to show mercy upon your creation. The fifth type of tawassul, al-khamis, التوسل إلى الله بدعاء الصالحين الأحياء. To seek tawassul, intercession through the righteous people who are living. Living righteous people. To go to them, وَكَمَا كَانَ الصَّحَابَ. At the time of the Sahaba, they would go to Abbas, to the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, and tell him to supplicate for them and to pray for them. The third type of tawassul that we find, اعتراف بالذنوب. To recognize your sins. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي. The dua of Musa alayhi salam. Oh my Lord, yani I have committed transgression upon my own self, فَغْفِرْ لِي. Forgive me. It's a form of tawassul which is jaiz, that all of us can pray, ya Allah, we have transgressed our souls, now forgive me. I recognize my weakness and my sins. The second type of tawassul that we find, غَيْرِ مَشْرُوعُ, which is not permissible, which is not allowed. Amongst these type of tawassul that we find is to come to the dead individual, to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba ikram, they would come to him and ask him to do certain things for them or to pray for them. But after his death, we find none of the companions ever went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never went to his grave when the grave was accessible to them. Do you think that these people were juhal? Do you think they were ignorant? You think they were ignorant? They didn't know that the Prophet Muhammad is buried right in front of them. None of the companions ever went to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad and said, "Indi hadihi haja, I have this need, I have this problem." They said, "No, let us go to the am, let us go to the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad and ask him, Kal Abbas wa Yazid and other such companions." Said, "Let us go to these righteous individuals and ask them because they are living, and once they passed away, they will not turn to such individuals." وَلَقَدْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُمْكِنِ أَنْ يَأْتُوا إِلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ فَيَتَوَسَّلُوا بِهِ. It was, as Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his fatwa highlights, it was possible for them to go to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad and seek his assistance. Tell him that we are facing his problem, but they never ever done this action. يَعْنِي لَوْ كَانَ جَائِزًا. If it was allowed, these people would be the first amongst the people to go there and do this action. We find that these people used the rank of the Prophet Muhammad to seek their tawassul. They place this upon this hadith, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ بِجَاءِ فَإِنَّ جَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. If you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ask via my rank, because indeed my rank is azim, is great in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَذَا حَدِيثٌ مَكْذُوبٌ. This hadith is not even a hadith, this is a lie. This is a fabrication. To seek tawassul through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is totally not permissible. And we find that ulama of Ahlul Hadith have highlighted the discrepancies of this hadith. وَمَا دَامَ لَمْ يُصِحْ فِيهِ دَلِيلٌ فَهُوَ لَا يَجُوزٌ. There is no hadith that shows the authenticity of this. لِأَنَّ الْعِبَادَةِ لَا تَثْبُتْ إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٌ صَحِيحٌ صَرِيحٌ. Worship is only instigated by authentic text. That is what we need to bear in mind. Any form of ibadat, any form of worship is only to be based upon text, upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we find وَالتَّوَسَّلْ بِذَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ لَا يَجُوزُ. To seek intercession through the creation is something which is forbidden and not allowed for us to do. We find that these people are trying to place yani al-jaza, yani aw fadl aw in'am upon these individuals. So that it only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if He wants that when you do certain actions, He can reward you with blessings. He can reward you with virtuous blessings to be placed upon you. It is not a right that you can claim from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants to, He can do it. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the virtue of Allah He can place upon you. Persons should not think that if I do ta'a, I'm obliged to gain this. That is a wrong concept to hold. It is only the in'am. It is only the blessing and the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can give it to you if He wants. Yes, He'll give it to certain individuals to strengthen them, to bring them closer to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But many of the ulama, when they reach a certain stage, they don't do ibadat, they don't do worship that I may gain this. In the beginning stage of ibadat, certain bushra, certain good things are given to you to make you be upon the bab of istiqamah. And many ulama have written, what people look for karamat, people look for visualization of miracles. What is kirama? Kirama as istiqamah, to remain steadfast. A person remains steadfast throughout the life of 40, 50 years of their life upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is karama as far as the ulama is concerned. That is a miracle. That is a mu'jiza. That a person throughout their life remain upon Allah, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani uncle there is shocked. But that is istiqama. That is karama. You don't need to see visual signs. But a person remains upon praying fajr in jama'ah, isha in jama'ah, upon tahajjud, upon fasting, upon reading the Quran, that is signs for you. That this person is a person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find, أَسَلُكَ بِحَقِّ السَّائِلِينَ. That I ask you by the right of the people who ask. You need this, there's no harm in such statements. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to the people who ask. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer all those people who ask Him. So you cannot say because this person has a right upon you. And that's what these people think. This person is pious, is close to you, then I ask you by his right. Allah answers all those people that ask Him. That is the concept that we need to develop in our mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go against His wa'ad, against His promise. Then we find, finally, we find حُكْمُ الْإِسْتِعَانَةِ وَالْإِسْتِغَاثَ بِالْمَخْلُوقِ. To seek the aid, and the isti'ana is to talabul aun, to seek aid and assistance in a certain affair. As for istighatha, is the removing of hardship. Izalatu shidda. Who gives aid and who removes the hardship is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we find certain types of isti'ana wa istighatha are allowed. For example, that which the creation has the ability to do. You can come to me and say, for example, can you lend me £10? I can give that to you. That is isti'ana, to aid you. Can you pray for me? I'm going through some sickness because I'm living at the moment. It doesn't mean that the du'a will be answered. This type of isti'ana and istighatha is ja'iz, is allowed. We don't debate about this type of isti'ana. That which a human being has ability to do, that is something permissible. Where the debate exists, even the time of Musa alayhi salam, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. So the tribe, the person, istighathahu, he sought the aid of Musa alayhi salam. He told him to come and help him, and Musa alayhi salam could help him. He had the strength and the ability to help him. The istighatha or the i'ana that we are debating with these people about is that which a person does not have the ability to do. To remove hardship, to remove sickness, to bring about a child. An individual does not have the ability to do that. That only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the istighatha that these people fall into. That they believe that they're dead, and they believe that these people can bring these things upon them and can aid them in such things. And we find that even in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, we find وَقَدْ كَانَ فِي زَمْنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُنَافِقْ يُؤْذِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A hypocrite used to harm the believers. فَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ قُومُوا بِنَا نَسْتَغِيثُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ هَذَا الْمُنَافِقْ. Let us stand up and seek the assistance of the Prophet Muhammad in removing this hypocrite. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه لا يستغاث بي وإنما يستغاث بالله. You don't seek my aid and my assistance, you seek the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though he had the power and ability to get rid of this hypocrite, he had the power and ability, but he's trying to teach them a lesson in tawheed, teach them a lesson that it's not my ability, even though I have the ability to stay because I'm living, but it is by the ability and the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places upon an individual. And that's why we find وَتَحْذِيرًا لِلْأُمَّةِ مِنْ وَسَائِلِ الشِّرْكِ فِي الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ. To tell this ummah to stay away from any form of shirk, whether it be in statements or whether it be inside actions. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا لَا يَجُوزُ فِي حَقِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَغَيْرُ مِنْ بَابِ الْأَوْلَى. So we find this was allowed. فَكَيْفَ يَسْتَغَاثُ بِهِ بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ. He forbade this during his life. So how can you turn to him after his death? He forbade people from attributing this to him whilst he's living. How can you do it whilst he has passed away? وَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا لَا يَجُوزْ فِي حَقِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If this is not allowed towards the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَغَيْرُوا مِنْ بَابِ أَوْلَى. So you cannot turn to nobody else. So all of these awliya that these people claim that you turn to, how can you turn to them? You're not allowed to turn to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم whilst he's passed away. He refused it whilst he was living, and to use these words whilst he's living, he refused it whilst he has passed away. So how can you turn away to people other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's something for us to reflect and to think about. Anything good and khair I've said has been none other than the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything evil or incorrect or out of context has been from the whisperings of my own soul and from the whispering of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place these words in a mizan of hasanat and give us a clear understanding of tawheed and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these words and his action. وجزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك بارك الله فيكم.